December 3, Zechariah 3. Jesus says, I am the one who has overcome Satan. He brought me limitless trouble from the time I came into the world, unleashing against me the hatred of the blind, avid power always imagining that others will take away its goods, obtained by usury inciting against me the undeserving ruling class, which felt reproached by my merits. My word too, was a reproach. But when I was not yet speaking, I was already wounding, for holiness is a rebuke for the unworthy. He brought forth against me enemies and betrayers, and spurred my disciples and friends towards doubt. He lay snares for me in the desert, and oppressed me with his terrors in Gethsemane. And, not content, he still robs me continually by seducing men's hearts. The battle between me and him will not end except when man is judged in all his instances. And the final victory shall be mine and eternal. Now the hellish beast, always defeated and ever more ferocious at being defeated, hates me with boundless hatred and upsets the earth to wound my heart. But I am the victor over Satan. Wherever he contaminates, I pass by with the fire of love to cleanse. And if I had not continued my work as teacher and redeemer with inexhaustible patience, you would all be demons by now. To cleanse you of the greatest sin I obeyed the Father's wish. The greatest sin was disobeying God's command. Thirst for power, pride, and concupiscence came from it. The three furies which always hold you in their power, when you are unable to annihilate them with a life led in God. I made amends for the initial disobedience with my obedience. To cleanse you of other sins I took upon myself the wretched robes of iniquity which were your robes, and to remove the iniquity of the whole lineage of man from them, I soaked them in my blood, and washed them in it. Afterwards there came glory, but first there was pain. Afterwards there came the right to judge. But first there was the duty to expiate. Afterwards I was made the founder of the new temple in which the most holy fount of the septiform spirit is. But first I had to be the victim immolated to purify the house of God. And what do you think, O priests, on whom the light yoke of the observance of your duty weighs? That it was easy for me to be the priest? And who among you, no matter how oppressed by cares, is oppressed by torments equal to mine? But these souls, that I entrust to you, do you know that they are the portion I have acquired for myself by my death? Do not let them be lost. Snatch them from Satan at the cost of your lives, as I snatched them at the price of mine. To learn you have only to study me. It is not necessary to be learned. Just be seekers of God, and God, I, will illuminate you. The same day, 8 a.m. Jesus says, My mother spoke to you about the shadow enveloping her as the mother of God. This is not opposed to my words a few days ago, if everyone noticed something special in that couple passing by in poverty over the crowded streets, like a light and a perfume, that did not illuminate their blindness, and did not speak to their spiritual deafness. It was a perception like that of someone feeling, more than seeing, the shining of the sun upon his bandaged head through opaque strips and hearing a distant noise barely reaching his eardrum like a sigh of air broken by a sound which is so slight, as to be a word no longer. My mother called herself the Silent One. Many attributes should be added to her litanies, and you would have a great deal to meditate on regarding these attributes. She was and is the Silent Virgin, the Luminous Virgin, and the Mother of Light. With extreme reluctance she lifted some veils for my evangelists, but only those veils which she, in her supernatural knowledge, deemed useful in my interest. As for what concerns her, absolute silence. She kept everything in her heart, as stated by Luke, and from her heart she draws memories for her most beloved ones like pearls from a coffer. It should, then, come as no surprise, that the crowds were unable to comprehend, though remaining sanctified by the passing of my mother. As she said, they were not saints. As they were more or less good, God was far from their hearts, and where God is not present, there is no light. Nor is it surprising that God should have protected the blessed woman under the veil of an apparently common life. God does not love what humans love. Human celebrations, and, even less, self-celebrations. He covers himself with reserve and wraps his defects therein. The world is a profaner, and the more Satan is defeated, the more cunning he is. God protects his beloved ones, and himself in them, from slavering forms of curiosity and poisonous traps, for he takes great care of his instruments, because he wants them to fulfill their mission. He makes the hidden truth known to the saints alone. Nor should it cause surprise that after my birth Mary appeared even more to be a common woman, a young mother, and nothing more. Like a monstrance from which the Most Holy Host had departed, she was now the All-Holy One in herself, But she no longer bore the Holy of Holies. And if we consider that the Holy of Holies, precisely in the hour when he rescued the earth, with its inhabitants, both the dead and those to come, with eternal sovereignty, appeared to the eyes of the world as an evildoer tortured for his misdeeds, it is also reasonable that the Mother, since she became the co-redeemer and thus rescuer of the earth, should have appeared as a poor, simple woman. The luminous time of my being formed within her had passed, and the shining of joy which in the night had filled Mary's heart, the grotto, and the heavens ebbed at the dawning, when the sun of redemption began to rise. The dawn found Mary already immersed in the thought of the future torment. The offering had already been made in my name, and the two most Christian sentences on earth had been joined together, forming a chain to choke evil. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Lord, thy will be done. Holy blessed lips of my mother, who lent the virginal sound of perfect words to my nothingness as an infant. Over her heroic yes, repeated when motherhood made her doubly heroic, heaven bent down, venerating the martyr redemptress in her. Like a necklace to which a pearl is added day by day, Mary's days of sorrow began. At the end was Golgotha. It is because of this long sorrow of hers that I say to you, love her. I bless you when you love me. But in exchange for the love you give my mother, I prepare for you a more gleaming dwelling in heaven.